that was referenced last year as an enrollment increase. I'm just worried, you know, you're just using boilerplate.
You're correct. It was actually communicated to one of my colleagues, and somehow it didn't. So we'll update that page. It has increased.
So yeah, we're going to update the report and get it back out to you. In fact, we'll have them rebind it if you'd like.
It's about $20,100 for the current year.
Okay. My concern is, was there analysis done? Was there any thought? Or did you just take boilerplate and slapped it together?
There was thought. Somehow I just didn't get it updated. I apologize for that.
On page 4, the balance sheet from the previous year, could that be presented? You know, you have the current year.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, this is following the standards of
sure.
of other school districts, but it in my practice, I'd like to see the previous year on that.
And governments are strange in that they only present, they only have the single year presentation. We could do some type of executive summary or supplemental schedule that would show comparison, could show highlights year over year.
And my experience also on the corporate side is it's very common to show 2 years, you know, the current
absolutely.
Year and the previous year, so you can sort of see how things are
and
changing.
And you have to. And governmental accounting standards are weird. For some reason, they're this way. Now, in the district audit, what there is there's a management's discussion and analysis, which does show year-over-year comparisons. Because this isn't an audit of the entire entity, they would frown on calling it management's discussion and analysis in the same way. But we could certainly, if management would like, we could put in some type of schedule in here that would show year-over-year comparisons, discussion. You
know. I think that would be helpful for us. It would be helpful for the board and also the community. To have a more complete picture of how things are trending.
And the additional cost to do something like that should be minimal, right?
Yeah, it would cost nothing.
On page 5, the expenditures just listed facility acquisition construction cost of $75 million, while the previous years showed breakdowns of plant services transferred to other agency. A little more detail.
Yeah.
And interest. And it wasn't listed this year.
And I would agree, they were small amounts, and so they were all combined, but I think we should break them out just to be consistent with prior year. So we'll go ahead and make that change, and there are some small amounts that can get broken into those different categories.
Yeah, there were three items that were lumped in, and that was the plant services piece was about $139,000 last year. Mm-hmm. It was a Moody's bill that came in after the fiscal year that was part of the original, should have been part of the original cost of issuance. It was the Moody's review and rating, as well as about $13,000 that came to us that should have gone to Fund 51, which is the fund that's held at the county that takes in the GO bond tax increment and then pays it back out on the bond payments. And there was about $13,000 we had to remit to the county. And those were the three items that would have matched up to last year's presentation. And we can change that.
And so the next time, if we sell a bond, uh-huh. and they say, okay, here's issuance cost. If there's anything left over, let's say $2,500, that's like that $13,000. It'll be remitted back to the county treasurer from the holding agent.
Okay.
That pays these those.
They remitted it to us
or whatever.
In error, the $13,000,
yeah.
and we had to send them a check.
Yeah. Send it back.
But it goes. We can't keep it. I don't know why we can't keep it, but it goes.
I can't.
It pays down $2,500 worth of bonds. Yeah. Someday
goes to the bond fund.
$13,000 on that $707 million ultimate. So.
Every penny counts. Yeah. Page 8, H fund balance under. Government accounting standard,
yes.
Standard, right? Number 54. Fund balance is divided into 5 classifications. Was these 5 classifications used in the report? Why or why not?
There are 5 classifications. Within the building fund, it's all the funds are restricted, so it's only the restricted classification.
And that's in the audit.
Yeah, so it's all restricted.
It says it's all restricted.
All restricted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't find which page it is, but it's on here.
It's page 8. The fund balance is considered restricted.
There it is.
Last year, cash with fiscal agent totaled almost $40,000, and nothing was mentioned this year. Shouldn't this report, this year report, point out there were no funds held by U.S. banks?
And again, this is where governmental is weird, where you're only showing 1 year. If you're showing a two-year presentation, absolutely. Items like this could be discussed in that little schedule, that supplemental schedule that we were talking about that would show 2 years and like a high-level executive summary and things like this could be pointed out, which I think would be a good idea.
Tom, this was the issuance cost. Once it was all gone, it's gone. And it's all left the treasurer now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Any residual went to the treasurer for...
Page 10, this is the same as last year. Is this boilerplate language? Does the county invest in other financial instruments such as ETFs?
No, they're by code. These are the only things.
Okay.
Right. We have a list of the current stuff, Tom.
Okay. Pass down.
This is as of January 31st. What's invested in the county pool investment? And you had a related question about somebody asked a question that I think is a good point to make right now about the custodial versus the credit risk. The custodial risk, you remember the bankruptcy in Orange County, there was no custodial risk there either. The board, the county board and the county treasurer, as well as its constituent agencies that were investing, had allowed some investments to go forward, not scrutinized heavily, and they did lose some money on credit risk or interest rate risk. But the idea that there's a custodial risk, that they say there's no custodial risk in the thing, is a standard practice for government pools. There could have been a commentary about the credit or interest rate risk.
Yeah, it really is a misapplication, I think, because really what they're talking about here is the credit risk of the individual investors here is credit risk. Custodial risk would be if the county treasurer collects that money and fails to use it for the district.
Correct, and that's why it's generally reported as non-existent.
But there is risk. There is a risk that the county treasurer would abscond with it. It's maybe minimal, but you can't say there's no risk.
That's true. Do you have any other comments on the custodian?
I think it's an industry practice to report investments in pools the way that we're doing it. Because I think the thought is that if somehow something were to happen, we'd have much bigger problems. So the risk to the district, it would be minimal that would ever happen.
I agree. It's probably...
Relying again on internal controls.
On their internal controls.
Their internal controls are very high level.
My comment on page 11, does the district really manages its exposure to the interest rate risk by investing in county treasury when they're legally required to use them? So it's more like a semantics. Because the district is not really manages that. You know, that implies an active thought or action to me, where it's more, or it's been mandated that they use it. So it's I really wouldn't want to mislead anyone into thinking that there was discretion on the part of the board. I
don't know. Just for my own edification, Gary, and you probably answer this one. In a GO bond issuance, is it mandated that we not use a third party, or is it possible to use them with permission?
No.
No third parties?
It's complicated, but there is a provision if the board deems certain dollars that the district had, I forget that there's a term for it, but like non-required, I could take it and invest it someplace else. Mm-hmm. I did it once when we got stuck in the mid-90s with keeping our money here because of the inverted whatever terms we had to live out some investments for 3 years, so I was able to do that and get a higher interest rate for a while in a almost CD. But it's with bonds, you can't because you're supposed to spend them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be spending those things. You're not supposed to be holding on.
It's arbitrage, yeah.
Well, yeah, you're just not supposed to be, you know, because they were worried that governments would sell these things at a lower rate, invest them, and just keep them for years on end.
They used to.
So the IRS says, no, you can't do that. So technically, unless something slows you down, you're supposed to spend your bond money, shoot for 3 years expenditure. You know, and I've had somewhere longer, but I couldn't get the property, so we couldn't build the place fast enough. They understand that.
This, it's a pooled money fund, so by definition, it is restricted to short-term investments.
Yeah.
And I think that might be the, again, I don't know if you're constrained what you can say, but I think that might be a better way to phrase this, that the money is, the interest rate is interest rate risk is mitigated by investing in the county San Diego pooled money fund, which by definition is short term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can read that. Okay, that's
fine. And the county has, since the 90s, mid 90s, has a committee now. That, some more rules, but they have a committee of people like me that kind of oversee. So there's a couple of people like me, there's a couple of city managers, a couple of water district managers, and so forth on that investment committee. But keep an eye on them down there.
Under that interest rate risk, the maturity is shown as 393 days compared to 370 days last year. Is there anything that we should worry about, or is it material? Or
it's just the maturity investments that they made, and I'm sure they have a whole set of standards on how long they can do it. By definition, it's going to be somewhat short term. They're always trying to maximize the rates, but obviously when you're using money in the pool, they can't go out 5 years and lock it up, or they'd have to borrow against it.
Yeah, they look at their cash flow, you know, and they try to see how much can go out a year and how much needs to be 10 days turnover.
Under credit risk, the San Diego County investment pool is rated at least A. Last year, audit pointed out that it was a triple A rating.
Yeah, it's still AAA, but there are individual investments within the pool that have different ratings, and so what, it didn't change, the rating did not change year over year, it's still AAAF S1 by Standard & Poor. It's been that way for 11 years, I believe.
The pool itself.
There are individual investments in that pool, and if you delve further into the details, and it shows the rating of each one of those investments and what they're rated, and so some of those were only rated A. But the pool itself is still the AAA. So it might just be a little semantics. One is the overall pool, one is the investments in that pool.
Okay.
So I think that's why it says at least A versus rated AAA S1 last year.
Okay. So,
but no change in
that. So it wasn't a change in the overall credit risk.
Well, maybe you could just say in the report, if you do,
the
pool is rated AAA, sure. F whatever.
Sure.
And then you have your other comment.
Yep.
It says some of them are A.
That's fine.
Concentration of credit risk. Under that section, this is the question. Does the district have any investments that are greater than 5% of total investment?
Do we have 5% of the pool?
District investments that are greater than 5% of the total investments are either in an external investment pool or mutual fund, or therefore exempt. And so I'm just asking if there are any.
And it says here the district investments that are greater than 5% of total investments are either in an external investment pool, which would be the San Diego Pooled Money Fund.
This would be if the district had other investments besides what's in here. There are requirements that they can only have that are greater than 5% have to be in that pool. So it would have to be a very small amount to be invested in something else. But the district does not have any of those investments. No.
On page 12 of the audit, note number 3, it talks about accreted interest. What is accreted interest?
Interest owed. So if you have a typical bond, you're paying the interest payment every year, we don't accrue the interest. The debt itself, the bonds are accrued. That's, you know, the $207 million. That's accrued, and then you pay a little bit of that off. But we don't accrue the interest that we're going to pay on a CD in year 10. or CIF in year 10. But we do accrue the interest on the CAB that we haven't paid. Once you get a year, 1 year's worth of CAB, but we didn't pay it, that's a debt now. That gets added on to the bond debt, and that's the accreted interest. Right.
So, like, just using simple numbers. So, a CAB, if it were, say, the original principal were $1 million, and then 20 years we were going to have to pay $5 million. So, in year one, it would just be the principal of $1 million. In years 2 through 20, we're trying to estimate, based on the accreted tables in the back, how much that's worth. So it was $1 million here, it's going to eventually be $5 million. In between the time, it's going to keep going up and up and up and up and up. And so the principal will always stay at $1 million, the accreted interest will grow until it hits the entire $5 million, and then it will all get paid and come off.
Right. I guess my concern here was the asterisk principal does not include accreted interest. So where do you show the accreted interest?
Well, it's a little misleading because the financial statements themselves is just the fund, so it's the modified accrual basis. So if you look on the district's overall books, that accrued interest shows up as a liability. In this table, that's accrued interest as part of that interest column.
Okay, so it shows up in the interest column.
Correct.
Well, it also shows up in the accretion tables.
Yeah, that's different. I was focused on this table here.
So on page 12,
yes,
under column, the table you have, under the interest column,
yes,
as we go further into time,
yes,
the last line, for example, 2049 to 2052, the $164 million plus amount of interest would include accretive interest?
That includes all the accreted interest, that's correct. And I saw another comment on here that said it would be helpful maybe to break out the accreted interest in a separate column, and I agree with you. And we can certainly do that going forward. So that way you can see of this interest, what's current interest and what's capital appreciation going to be accreted interest.
Right, I think that would be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And so you would relabel this interest column into current interest and accreted interest?
Correct.
Okay. But at the end of the day, the total amount is going to remain the same.
That's everything.
Right.
Yes.
So the principal is the net proceeds of bonds. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
That's our net proceeds, and then the interest is the combination of both the accreted and the current interest. Okay. In any given year.
So the 164 is what hasn't been paid to date. That's what would be paid in that block of time.
Mm-hmm.
What five? What's that? 3 years? 4 years? Something like that. But the first one, the 5890, the very
yes,
first,
yes,
that has been paid.
That's been paid.
That's
yeah,
been paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as we keep going through the years, there's a large portion that's been paid, but also a growing portion.
And he said in the 5.8, there is some, well, maybe not the 5.8, but yeah, well, maybe the 5.8 million, there's some accrued interest that hasn't been paid yet.
Yeah. And the real term
it's expense. What's been paid and what has been generated as a debt.
Accrued has a slightly different. Slightly different meaning. So the accreted interest is that interest which is being added to the payment because there's a compounding effect that occurs to it.
Okay. And accreted interest has nothing to do with whether a premium or a discount has been paid. It's just the accrued interest that is owed on a bond.
Yeah, it's a building
capital appreciation bond.
On a capital appreciation bond.
Yeah. Okay.
CIOU.
Yeah.
And remember, these are, it's a summary, so it's of current interest, capital appreciation, and the whole spectrum of bonds that were sold.
And so it really doesn't impact too much on the interest rates that were developed for this various series that you referenced. It's just basically how it's calculated and what's owed on that particular bond and when it's due.
Correct.
Yes, on page 19, again, I think we covered the testing of the expenditure last year. There's 27 versus 33.
Mm-hmm.
The test of the contract and bid procedure.
Yeah.
You mentioned that there was a testing of in the report of one lease back contract.
Yeah.
And how many total leased back units are there during the audit period? And is the one sample truly enough to make a conclusion?
In that case, yes. There were not that many during the audit period. And then, again, we any sampling requirements, which for small samples, 10% is usually the guidance that gives you. But yes, we did meet all sampling requirements in selecting that.
So there are like 10? It's not like there's 100
correct.
Out there.
Correct.
But there's like, again, in your judgment, you know, based on the total sample of 10, a sample of one was adequate.
And based on my judgment and following government auditing standards in sampling.
Okay.
Correct.
And then in this year's audit, there were no recommendation. Last year we had three. And so, again, I know the government standards doesn't like you to put both years, but...
You know, I think we can put it in. I think we'll put it in, and the district has implemented those.
Right.
And I think it would be helpful to show them in there. Right. And so since we're making all these other changes, I'm just going to add a page and put it in there.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Yeah, I think those changes would be very helpful. Michael, do you have any specific questions for the audit?
We had a little extra money from the tax revenue. I think we charged $444, and there's a couple hundred thousand dollars left, and the county decided it was going to take over the reserves. Are we getting that money back soon, or is it staying, and is it in the pool, or what?
It's that economic, that $1.3 million economic stabilization gratuity that the treasurer, kind of the tax collector, said, "Oh, we collected 44, but you didn't use it all, so there's this."
Yeah, there's a difference. Yeah. So, I don't know if you even looked into that. It's probably a small amount.
No, I did.
About 400 or 500 is it? 1,000 is it? It's still there. It's under our name. It's to be used to pay bond payments. So it's not going anywhere.
Right. So,
go ahead.
Did you report to them the response from the?
No. Okay. I didn't. No.
The treasurer's office will look periodically at the bond obligations and how much they're collecting, and they will typically adjust that over time with a they give themselves a little space for estimates, right? Because it's all an estimate. The structure of the bonds were set to go along with the changes in assessed value and all that kind of stuff. So the treasurer and their crew that does the geo bond sides and the collections for special taxes periodically review what the initial estimates were, and if it changes, they would change the amount. Now we're starting to look at a Series C and some other assumptions and determinations, but if there were, let's say there were no new series going and 44 was significantly above funding requirements for the bonds, they have the option to change it down.
Yeah, they would drop it. They don't let it get too big.
Right.
Okay.
It's just a safety valve for it.
Right.
That's the term when people don't pay their taxes.
Reserve.
Default. Yeah. So they have some small reserve for that, but they don't. Because I called them and asked them some questions, because if we didn't sell any more bonds, so we have that gap way out.
Yeah.
Well, that means if I'm a taxpayer, all of a sudden I'm paying this tax and it drops down for 5 years and then jumps back up. That's kind of, that's a shock to somebody paying their taxes. And I said, well, can't you just keep the collection, just pay less than, He goes, no. They said, no.
Well, no. In fact, I don't believe.
They can only charge what is needed. They can't bank that money, just keep charging those gap years that we didn't sell anything, just to have the money in the bank to pay off and charge less, and they would make it go down and back up on the taxpayer. That stinks.
And in terms of the bonds, you can't change them and pay them off, or if there's no call provisions, you can't just pay them off. The investors have some rights in the matter too. So
in those years for our Series B where the tax rate was temporarily went down to 7.
Yes.
That would have happened?
That if we didn't sell anything anymore. But the reason that was there is to sell Series C in that thing. Right. And so what they thought was, okay, they knew the interest rates are going up. So they said, well, let's have the longest bonds with the lower interest rate, because if the next series is a higher interest rate, we want them paid off sooner. And that's why they left a 5-year gap. Because we were going to come back.
I've gone through those figures, and I'm afraid it doesn't make any sense, but that'll be for another time.
Right. Well, that was the reason why we had a gap. Series C was going to come fairly soon after it, and then life got a little more complicated in the public, and so we held off, and the board held off. But we were going to sell another Series C's right in and use that 5-year block for Series C, which would have been, as the interest rates are going up, a higher interest rate for those bonds than the Series B.
Yeah, but we ended up selling longer-term bonds at higher amounts. And if we'd not done the gap, we would have saved money on the basis of what the figures show.
Well, for Series B, but not Series C. Because Series C would have just went on the back end at a higher interest rate. That was the logic. So if you didn't sell any more bonds, we stopped at 207, yes, the logic would have been, okay, there's a gap, and we could have paid them off sooner. Yes.
Well, I think we still should have paid it off sooner, but again, that's a subject for a different time.
Yeah, and we all have different opinions, and that was the logic that went to create that.
So getting back to the audit, Mike, do you have any...
No, I'm quite satisfied. Thank you.
Okay, Mike. Stacy, do you have any questions for the auditor?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Good.
Okay. And I think Mike. I think my questions were sort of answered as we went through. Are there any remaining questions we have for Mr. Ash before we release him?
That was very helpful. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I apologize for not being here last year. I think that I've been here last year, we had the conversation, some of these issues.
The continuity helps, right?
Alleviated a while ago.
Actually, in his defense, he did a very good job presenting. Ben.
Okay.
It was Ben, right?
Yeah, it's Ben.
He was under quite a scrutiny last year for another topic. But
sure.
For a young man, I thought he did very well.
Good. Yeah, he was well spoken. So.
Good. And I appreciate the changes you're willing to make. I think it's going to be very helpful for the board and really for us and for the community.
Oh, I do have one last question. There's nothing in here or nothing that you know or reviewed that gives you any concern.
It would
be in the report.
Absolutely.
So you didn't write up that thing about the assistant superintendent? Shitty guy. Just another thing is the audit, the cost of the audit does not come out of Prop K. It comes out of my general fund.
It would be that out of the general fund.
It's not allowed.
And it's part of a 3-year contract that you were awarded.
Mm-hmm. So I would say if we're going to issue new ones, we just send you new bound ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you could collect all the ones that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Make sure we get them all.
So you work on that.
They can leave them with me.
Make sure we get them all.
That'd be great.
And shred them.
Yes.
And so we'll be bringing that to the board in March.
Okay. March 10th. That's going to be a busy agenda.
Pardon me?
That's going to be a busy agenda.
Yeah, March it is. 10th. We're bringing the bonds to the.
The COC yeah. report, the
yeah.
bonds.
And right.
It's nice, though. It's all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. David, thank you for sharing your thoughts and feedback, too.
Sure. Thank you, David.
Very helpful. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You guys asked the most questions of any Citizens Oversight Committee I've ever sat in. And I appreciate it.
We have smart people here. Yeah.
It's a really good thing. Thank you very much.
Right. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. Second item, last item, is the annual report. And I've got my laptop so we can just post it up here and sort of try to make changes on the fly. hopefully, I was trying to be efficient, so I just took a stab at a starting point, a draft that we can start
thank
with.
You very much.
Can everybody see that? Okay. I guess we'll wait till we get the text up here. Cecilia, is there a way we can turn the lights on?
Mm-hmm.